Hi there, this is John.
This is Lou. Welcome back to the last in our series, 10 Simple Changes to Empower Your Life with a Problem Drinker. And inevitably, I think when you do the concluding thing, it's all about kind of looking back, doing an overview and looking forward.
Yeah.
Now, you made this statement just now when I was doing the notes with you, change is not linear. Now, what do you mean by that?
Okay. Well, some time ago, in the 80s, there were two psychologists, James Prochaska and Carlo Di Clemente, who produced this process of change model.
Yeah.
And it's gone through a number of incarnations.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first incarnation was that they had a straight line. People change, make a decision to change here, and then they go through the various processes and they exit here, mm-hmm. having changed.
So it's a study of what the dynamics of change,
yes,
looks like. Yeah, okay.
To be honest, that model didn't hold water for,
right,
2 minutes, because most people don't change that way. As I spoke about earlier, I talked about the New Year resolution, where people decide that they will lose weight, they will take up exercise, they'll stop smoking, and what very often happens is they make the decision, they launch themselves into change, and then they relapse.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come back and they launch themselves into change again, and then they relapse. And that process can go on and on.
And
until eventually somebody exits, you know, mm-hmm. they go around the processes of change, that they go through the sort of preparation, the action stage, the maintenance stage, and then eventually they have changed their behaviour. For
mm-hmm.
example, me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't decide to change my drinking and that was the end of it. I mean, I decided to change my drinking many times
mm-hmm.
before I eventually did change mm-hmm. my drinking. You know, I've now been, it's 27 years since I've had a drink.
Mm.
So, but it took me a long time to get to the frame of mind where I really, really wanted to change.
Mm. And we must be encouraged by this, that your drinker may have quite a few false starts of sobriety before they really do actually get there and really mean it. And they will be disappointed within themselves, and you will be disappointed too. But if you remember that this is a very natural and normal process,
yes,
of change, then kind of then you won't be colluding with perhaps the despair that comes into the person, like the drinker. What's the point? I'll never get free from this.
Yeah.
If you say, just keep trying, because change,
yeah,
you know, often involves this process where gradually you get better and better. Another way of putting it is often we think things are vicious circles, but they're not. They're descending spirals. And descending spirals have the same scenery each time, but every time you go around that circle, that it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and there is an end to a descending spiral, but there isn't an end to a vicious circle.
You're also closer to change. And to be honest, that's actually quite correct, because that's how the process of change is actually seen now. There's not a cycle of change, it's a spiral of change. One of the reasons for that is because each relapse you can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll learn not to do that again. You know,
mm-hmm.
For example, one of the things that many people do is they say, right, I've given up drinking, but I can still go down the pub and sit there and have a Coke with all my friends, and then they get drunk and they realise that maybe that wasn't the case at all, you know, and so that's something that they've learned, and maybe they won't do that the next time.
Sure.
You know, so I can do this, and, you know, I can put myself into a lot of stressful situations and I get drunk and think, oh, well, maybe not.
Mm. And this is really, really important, because one of the greatest underminers of change, I think, is disillusionment and despair and hopelessness and disappointment. When you tell this rather sad story, actually, it comes out of the AA situation.
Yeah.
And I know that you got sober through AA, so we're not doing a downer on AA. But this particular story, it just makes you sad, and it's about achievement and losing that achievement, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, guy who I met up with in AA, and he became my sponsor. A sponsor is somebody who helps a newcomer, helps them to go through the program and stay sober. And this person, Big John, his name was, as opposed to me, who is medium-sized John. He was very helpful to me. He was quite a rigid character, had been a sergeant major in the army, and you know, and but he was a great guy. And he phoned me up one day, you know, big, strong, strapping guy, and he was like a rock. And then he phoned me up one day crying, and I couldn't understand what was going on. And I got in my car and I raced out there, and he was sitting on the doorstep crying. And I thought, what's wrong with him? And what had happened was he had got frustrated with his wife and his child, and he had picked up a drink. One drink. I don't think he even finished the glass. But the problem for him was he had to go right back to the beginning. He had 8 years of sobriety, and now all of a sudden he had none. And I could never really understand that black and white sort of mentality. But I think sometimes we have kind of brought that black and white mentality, as far as drinking is concerned, into sort of, you know, the rest of our lives as well, because somebody either drinks or they don't drink. And I think it's rather sad. I think it's rather sad because I saw many times around Alcoholics Anonymous, people with quite a long period of sobriety were suddenly back to the beginning. But I don't actually believe that. I don't think, you know, I would try to tell Big John this as well. You can't take that 8 years of sobriety away from you. The things that you learned during that time, the things that you did, the changes that you made in your life, the improvements, you can't take that away from you. But he couldn't see that.
For people who maybe don't understand how the AA meetings operate, you say your name and you say, I have been sober so many years. But if you have a binge night, then you go back to number one. The point that John is making is that, no, you can't actually simplify the process of change like that.
No, you can't. You can't see it, simplify that way at all. But I think one of the things is to realise that sometimes people do relapse. And it's unfortunate that they relapse. By relapse, I mean going back to drinking. It might be drinking as much as they were before, or maybe just having some drinks. Not even as much as they have before. But that does not always mean that, you know, that everything has changed back again. It doesn't necessarily mean that. And I think one of the things that it changed in the way people started to look at change was that it's not all or nothing. It's about improvement as well.
Yeah.
Story I was told years ago about how to start and look at change was that because I used to worry that I was still having cravings for change, for drink, and I couldn't really understand why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And I thought, well, I made this decision, and I, you know, I have moved on. And somebody told me this story about how coaches actually judge whether an athlete is improving or is not improving. And it's, think of a 400 meter runner. A 400 meter runner is one lap round a track at you know, as fast as you can go. Now, one lap round a track is that it's actually a sprint. Although for me it's a long distance race, you know, but but it's a sprint. And you know, somebody runs round that track, at the end of it they're going to be fairly breathless. And that's the same whether they are a highly trained athlete or a less highly trained athlete. But there is a huge difference. And the difference is in the time it takes to recover. You know, if it was me, I would be sort of lying on my back, sort of, you know, breathing really heavily. And it would probably be at least an hour before I could actually talk to you again. But with these highly trained athletes, a couple of minutes, and their breathing is back to normal. You look at the you know, people who go and they play the tennis for 3 and 4 hours, and you've got a commentator with a mic in their face after 4 hours. And they can actually hold a conversation. You know, it's because they're so highly trained. It's the recovery time that's much, much quicker. And that's what happens when people are changing. You know, yes, they may relapse, but normally the relapses will be shorter than they were before. You know, the recovery time is faster. So one of the things that we're starting to look at is improvement. how much people have improved. If somebody gets drunk, you know, once a month, and all of a sudden it's once every 2 months, yes, it's disappointing that it happened again, but it's better.
I'm the same with you.
Yeah.
If you decide not to do the four P's, and you only do three of them rather than the four, then it's better. And then maybe the next week you'll manage two of them. And again, be really kind on yourself. Remember the whole psychology. We talked about half full and half empty.
Yeah.
When I talk to my client, I talk about a journey. And if you've had a difficult journey, and then you meet someone who's coming the other way, and they kind of say to you, oh, it's a really difficult road up ahead, I hope you're going to be all right, then not only do you feel tired, but you actually feel quite disempowered about the next bit.
Mm.
But if you meet somebody who says, yes, it is a hard road, but you're already halfway there, so you're going to be fine. If you've done the first bit, you'll be fine with the second bit.
Yeah.
Then you think, oh, good, and then you feel empowered to go on. So again, whether you're actually talking to your partner, whether you're talking to yourself, actually look at the bit that you've already achieved. Don't focus in on the bit that you haven't. And again, this whole negativity around living with a problem drinker, there is so much of that. You know, they look at the drunkenness rather than the bits that they are kind of getting right. And with us, we look at the bits that we've blown. And the last thing we want these 10 simple steps to be is 10 simple more reasons to condemn yourself on a regular basis.
Yeah.
We really don't want it to be that.
So the message we're saying here is look for the improvements.
Yeah.
But not just improvements in drinking. Hopefully you will start to see improvements in lots of aspects of your life.
And that's the main thing. It's not, again, we're not looking at him, we're looking at us. That's
exactly
the whole ethos of what we're saying.
Yes. So, I mean, look at yourself. Do you feel more empowered within yourself? Do you feel that you have more choices within yourself? Do you feel happier? Is your social life a bit better? Do you know, are you feeling less depressed? Do you feel that you have, you know, more people that you can talk to, more support? You know, just have a look at all of these aspects of your life and say, are there changes?
Maybe even if you have time, note them down.
Yeah.
Because if you look back in 6 months' time, you may really see some real changes. Some of these changes, the human body grows, but you're not aware of it. It happens quite subtly, and you're often more aware of it looking back.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a mother of children, you don't see them changing and growing until perhaps your sister comes down from Dublin or whatever and says, oh, you've really grown. You think,
that's
oh,
right.
Yes, I have.
I mean, years ago, I used to do a lot of climbing in the Scottish Hills, and there was one particular mountain which is just tortuous at the beginning. And you walking up a very steep slope through a forest, and you really don't see progress at all. All you can see is the path in front of you because your head's down. And then you get out and into this field, but again, your head's still down because it's a very steep path. And then you get to the top of this path and you look back.
Yeah.
And this most wonderful vista opens up in front of you, you know, with this loch, and you see this, the glen has opened up further down, you know, to your left. And it just, you realise that you've actually come a long way.
Yeah.
But you can only see that, not by looking forward, but by looking back. But sometimes that's what you've got to do. You've got to check where you've been.
Yeah.
Because by checking where you've been, you'll see where you came from and where you are now. You know, and it's important to do that. That's not nostalgia. That's just good common sense.
Yeah. Can we also say that absorption is really, really important? I'm very aware, having lived it, at the exhaustion level that you live in a perpetual basis when you're living with somebody who either drinks all the time or who binge drinks. Can I just say, you could do worse than listening to these all over again and all over again and all over again.
Yeah.
We've got books where you can read, take it in with your eyes. We've got a website where you can come and read. There's loads of audios, as we said. There's people you can talk to. And the more ways you can get the message in, the more you will assimilate it, and it won't be something you're trying to remember. It'll be something something you know. It won't be something that you're trying to put into place. It'll be something that you're practicing and beginning to live. And that comes by absorbing and taking on board and just making it a part of your life on a regular basis. It will change your very attitude. It will change the way that you think, the way that you operate, if you have these principles really deeply embedded inside of you. And these things, again, take time. So absorb principles, absorb materials. It'll help your outlook, it'll help your attitude, and it will increase your hope for change. The more hope you have for change, the more hopeful you will be about implementing change. Remember too, there is no magical answer for your drinker. We have to say this over and over again. We don't know of anybody who has a magical answer to make your drinker stop drinking. In fact, I wish we had that magical answer, because we'd be billionaires.
Indeed. I think that's one of the things that saddens me sometimes about the addiction fields, whether it's smoking, drinking, whatever, weight loss even. Are these promises of the sort of modern day snake oil salesman. You know, come along, do this, stick a tape under your pillow and waking up, and it just doesn't happen, I'm afraid. If you put work into this, you will get effects out of it. It's that simple. And although people come looking for the magical sort of element that's going to change the drinker, unfortunately that hasn't been invented yet. What we do know is that if you come here, you practice these 10 steps, you well, they're not 10 steps, but these 10 tips. If you make these changes in your life, we will guarantee that you will begin to feel better. We can't guarantee your drinker will change, but what we can say is it's more likelihood of them changing. And that's what we can say. The research shows that, you know, the more you do these kind of things, the more you use the sort of carrot and the stick, the more that you actually get a life of your own, the more likelihood your drinker actually starts to look at himself and starts to change. But it doesn't, there's no guarantee that that happens, and it doesn't happen magically, and it doesn't happen overnight. But one of the things that, as I say, we have said is that we will empower you with these 10 tips, and that empowerment will start to change your life. It will start to change your life whether he's drinking or whether he's not drinking. We'd love to say that, you know, as Lou says, that, you know, we have the answer to his drinking, and it works every time. If we did, we would be billionaires.
However, much of what we see and much of what we hear of starts very entrenched, very stuck, very frozen. And if you regularly apply these principles, if you regularly absorb the ways to change your life, then all of this becomes loosened. And gradually, like anything, if you loosen something, like we stripped wallpaper recently, and you keep kind of applying all this gunge and everything, and it kind of loosens, then suddenly you can kind of take it off and it begins to come away. And that's true with everything. So again, there's much reason for hopefulness. But what we don't want is kind of to invest in some sort of fantasy that isn't going to happen, because you'll end up being disillusioned. But if you hope for change, you'll end up being encouraged, and you'll end up with a very different environment, circumstance and life.
Yeah, your life will definitely be much brighter.
Yeah.
It'll be much more hopeful.
Yeah.
You will feel much more empowered. You know, that much we can guarantee.
Yeah. And just talk a little bit about letting go. I think particularly forgiveness is important here. I was just going to just go over forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not condoning. But forgiveness is letting go of the anger and bitterness. And the forgiveness is as much for us as it is for the person that we are forgiving, isn't it?
Very much so. I mean, it is nice to forgive, and it's nice to be forgiven. But, you know, yeah, If you're letting things go and if you're forgiving the other person, then yes, it works against resentment.
Mm. And symbols can be really important here because there's so much negative emotion being stirred up all the time with the drinker. Even something really simple like putting down the worst bits of a week on a bit of paper and at the end of the week actually just either burning the paper, just cutting up the paper, even flushing it down the loo and just saying to yourself, well, I'm only going to take 1 week's crap at a time. I'm going to let this go. I'm going to let go of that. Everything that's happened, even flushing it away in the loo is kind of better than nothing. At least we've all got toilets. But it kind of says it's gone now. All the crap is gone. That's quite a good symbology, actually. Good crap in the toilet. Appeals to me. All the crap is gone. I'm not going to carry around a huge weight. I'm going to just let it go and I'm going to start again. And sometimes these symbolic things are really helpful. They help us with a lot of these sort of challenges.
Symbolism is really important. I mean, there used to be an awful lot more of it around, and you see quite a lot of it in religion, etc.
Yeah.
And certainly, one of the things that people like witch doctors are very tuned into is symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
And stage magicians and people like that, they realise that, this is very, very important.
Yeah, we're not condoning witch doctors.
Far from it, but they realise that symbolism is actually very important, and psychologists to a large extent understand this as well. They understand the symbolism of doing things, taking action.
Yeah.
And again, it takes us back to choice. If we choose to let the anger go, if we choose to forgive, then very often we feel better about ourselves.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than having all this toxic stuff leaking out of us all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's why very often, things like retreats, etc., they end up writing everything down in a piece of paper and burning it.
Yeah.
Symbolically burning it and saying, that's it. That's the end of it. I'm letting it go.
Yeah.
It no longer has residence in my head.
Yeah. I'm drawing a line on the chaos of this week and I'm letting it go.
Yeah. As I've said before, that this whole idea of resentment, it comes from the French word ressentir.
Yeah.
And ressentir means to refuel.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when we resent, because we refuel, we go over and over and over the same thing.
Mm.
The same hurt.
Yeah.
Plays on us time and time and time
and the capacity
again.
That I have to say, having lived with a drinker, is endless. Yep. If you choose to bring up the stuff, you can go on forever and ever and
so
ever.
So we feel the hurt again and again and again.
Mm.
And what, this kind of symbolically burning it or flushing it does is, is showing that you're making a decision to let it go.
And the cynical bit inside of us will say, oh, it just is colluding with making it easy for them to drink.
Nope.
And we do fight that, but actually the whole thing about forgiveness kind of offers redemption. Okay, it's a religious term, but actually when we forgive, we actually say to our partner, we're giving you again the opportunity of change. And they may have given up on themselves and they may not feel that it's possible for them to change. And if they see in your eyes all the time that you don't feel it's possible for them to change, then that despair becomes deeper. But if you can have faith in change, if you can have faith, and if you can say to them, okay, I didn't like it, but I'm going to let it go because I believe there can be change, that again gives them hope in the possibility of becoming sober. So all of the things that come out of us impact our drinker in terms of empowering them with the possibility of hope, the possibility of change, the possibility of them knowing that life can be different.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's us. We have come to the end of our 10 tips, and we talked about ourselves in the first one in the introduction. We talked about safety, very, very important. And number three, we talked about the 4 P's, about letting stuff go, because it's not just about getting more stuff into your head, it's about actually getting some stuff out of your head.
Yeah.
It's about stopping doing things that really don't help. Detachment as well, we talked about detachment and the consequences and how that's very important. Detachment, it's important for you, but it's also important for your drinker. It's important for you because it lets you live your own life, that rather than live your life through the drinker and everything that he does. It's also important for the drinker, because if you detach from him then and let the negatives take their natural course, then it provides an impetus for change. We talked about dealing with emotions, and we've talked about this just again, you know, about anger, about resentment, and all the emotions that, and there are plenty of them, that surround living with a drinker. We talked about disclosure, about trying to, you know, get support, start to talk to people, stop isolating yourself, and how important that is. We talked about getting a life. Yeah, get a life, you know. This is about the last bits of this is about the fun, you know, trying to get some fun back into your life, trying to sort of live a life that is yours rather than the, again, through the drinker. And then we talked about love, you know, we talked about, you know, the letting go, the optimizing your time with the drinker, valuing the drinker, and encouraging change, and how the, these are very important, because this provides the other side of the motivation. This provides the, you know, come and change because look what you're missing, you know, and that is a very powerful statement that you're making there. And we also talked about choices and change, and how you have more choices in your life than maybe you recognise at this moment in time. And now we're talking about counting your blessings, about starting to see change not as black and white, but in shades of grey. You know, you're starting to see the sun come through the clouds, rather than you know, having a very cloudy, stormy sky or a blue sky. You start to see the sun actually coming through. You're starting to see improvement in your life, but not just in the drinking. Again, it's about taking your eye off just the drinking and starting to see how you've changed, how your life has changed, how your choices have changed, how your empowerment has changed, and how your attitude may have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And we just hope that these tips have been useful to you. But as Lou said, listening to them once is not going to change your life, but go over them and over them and over them. Keep doing the exercises that we've suggested.
And come and join us. We would love
yes,
to have you on the Bottled Up website.
Yeah.
At some stage, we're hoping to get everyone together so that we can actually physically meet you person to person. But we'd love to have you. And there's people out there who would say, yes, we'd love to have you. So don't be alone. Don't struggle on alone. Come and be with us if you want to. You'll find the website very, very reasonable. Thank you for listening. It's whoever you are, it's lovely to have had these 10 weeks with you.
Yeah.
And we do hope we can make your acquaintance again at some stage. Goodbye from Lou.
And goodbye from him, from John.
Bye-bye.
Bye.